Good morning. Well, I'm looking at the time here, and we might be out of church a little early today. more fellowship time. It's pretty cool being up here, being able to say a few words to you guys. Those of you guys don't know, I'm currently a student at Grace University Christian College. I did a four-year prior to that through the Nazarene University, and it was a non-credited program, so when I came here, it wasn't credited. But now I'm working on my degree, and it's kind of cool to be able to bring out papers that I've written or are writing and preach them into sermons. So majority of when I preach is kind of more of an aspect of a student, so not real, well, it is real life because we put it in real life. But that's where I kind of come from sometimes. So if you guys ever get lost, and I come at more of a student than I do. But 2 weeks ago, we had an opportunity to, some of us in our youth group had an opportunity to step out in faith. There had been some young people that never flew on an airplane, and they actually had to go. We actually went to this place at the Merced. They had a Young Eagles program. And a lot of our kids went out there and got on the airplanes, flew around for about 30 minutes, and they thought it was the coolest thing ever. It was kind of cool to see them. I didn't get to fly on there. It was kind of cool to see them. I had one particular girl that procrastinated from the beginning till the end. And it was, she knows who she is, but I kept telling her, "Are you going to go?" And she's like, "Yeah, yeah." And she didn't really want to go. She went back, sat back at the end of the line. She did everything possible not to get on that plane. And so she actually ended up going with a different group all by herself. It was cool to see her get on that plane and take that step, take that faith. She was really great that day. You see, today we're going to be touching on Peter's triple Fs. We all have faith, fear, and failure in our lives. And I think Peter did as well, too. We'll be in the book of Matthew 14:22-33. Are you willing to take a step into the unknown? Are you the person who likes to play it safe? Get all your ducks lined up in a row? Or are you someone who enjoys the thrill of jumping out of an unexplored territory? One of my favorite theologians, Martin Luther, wrote, "God our Father has made all things depend on faith, so whoever has faith will have everything, and whoever does not have faith will have nothing." If you see yourself as someone who likes to play it safe, let me say this. God is not looking for daredevils who foolishly take risk for the thrill of it. He's looking for ordinary people like you and I who count the cost and are willing to venture out to the unknown because they have heard the call of God and have confidence that God will hold them up. Did you know it only takes a mustard seed of faith, a little faith in a great God to please God? And all of us in this room have that mustard seed of faith. There is only one person in this room who doesn't have, there's only one person in this room who doesn't have some measure of faith. Let me give some very common examples. Any man here ever kissed a girl knows the fear and anxiety of the moment of the first kiss. Some of you might look at your significant other and remember that. But the desire to kiss that girl compels men to push through that fear. Their palms are sweaty, and the possibility of rejection, but they go ahead and make the first kiss. Any man or woman who has ever stood at the altar before, God and their friends take a vow, any man or woman who ever stood at the altar before God and their friends take a vow of marriage knows what it means to take a leap in faith into the unknown, into the marriage world. There's no guarantee to success and no previous experience to calm the fear. But couples take this leap because they are in love and they want to be married. We need to step out in faith when we really want something. Anyone who has ever gone to a job interview or taken a new position has demonstrated faith despite their fear and anxiety and the uncertainty. You need and you want work. So you went through that very scary interview and you took faith. Anyone who has ever tried out for a sports team or auditioned for a musical group has taken a leap of faith. Their efforts would be rewarded, and they were scared to be rejected. I could give many, many examples today, but the point I'm trying to make today is only those who take a risk and a step of faith and move into the unexplored territory, enjoy the blessings that life has to offer. I once read, you can live on bland food so as to avoid an ulcer. Drink no tea or coffee or other stimulants in the name of health. Go to bed early and stay away from the nightlife. Avoid all controversy subjects so as you never give offense. Mind your own business and avoid involvement in other people's problems. Spend money on necessities, and save all you can save. You can still break your neck in the bathtub, and it will serve you right. Let us read Matthew 14, 22-33. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead on him to the other side. While he dismissed the crowd, after he dismissed them, he went up to the mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already considerably distant from land, buffered by the waves, but the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It is a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, it is you, Peter replied. Tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and he began to sink. Cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hands and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why do you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. You see, immediately after Jesus made his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake, while he sent the people home. Afterwards, he went into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble, far away from the land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. It was about 3:00 in the morning. Jesus came to them, walking on water. And when the disciples saw him, they screamed in terror, thinking he was a ghost. But Jesus spoke to them. It is all right. It is all right. He said, I am here. I am here. Don't be afraid. Then Peter called out to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you by walking on water. All right. Come, Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the board the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he looked around the high waves, he was terrified and he began to sink. "Save me, Lord, save me, Lord," he shouted. Instantly, Jesus reached out his hand and grabbed him. "You don't have that much faith," Jesus said. "Why do you doubt me?" And when they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples, they worshiped him. And they said, "You really are the Son of God." Jesus and the disciples have just spent the whole entire day ministering to masses of people. Jesus had demonstrated his compassion for the crowds and his power over nature by feeding everyone who was present with just a few fish and a few loaves of bread. But earlier that day, Jesus had heard some disturbing news that John the Baptist, his cousin, had been murdered. So Jesus sent his disciples away. He needed to take some time to pray. Jesus spent about 8 or 9 hours in prayer and in meditation up on a hillside. Meanwhile, the disciples had been rowing furiously against strong winds. The terrains of the Galilee is much more like the terrains of Southern California. In Southern California, they get winds that sweep down over the deserts and the hills into the valleys below. These winds can reach about 50 or 60 miles an hour. It's a similar effect. This occurs in the Sea of the Galilee. There doesn't have to be any signs of storm, no clouds, no rain, but poof, the wind suddenly can pick up and make travel nearly impossible. After a full day of serving thousands of people, the disciples had spent the better part of the night trying to row against the strong wind. They had only made it a couple miles from shore in about 9 hours of work. It was now about 4 a.m. in the morning, and they were exhausted. They were tired when suddenly they seen a shape move across the water. As the shape approached, they saw it. It looked like a man. And knowing that no man could walk on water, they assumed it was a ghost. And they screamed in terror. You see, it is human nature to be afraid of what we don't understand. Some people may have the philosophy that whatever you don't know can't hurt you. I once knew a man that lived like this. He didn't want to go to the doctor because he was afraid they would tell him something bad. He thought that ignorance is happiness, and he didn't know he didn't know if he even had heart disease or cancer, because it couldn't hurt him if he didn't know. This kind of stuff, where you bury your head in the sand thinking, man, it can cause great harm in people's life. These disciples, they made a very strong assumption about the figure on water. They were terrified, and they wanted nothing to do with the ghost on the water. If they had guns, they probably would have shot first and asked questions later. We as humans often make very poor decisions. We base it upon fear. We marry too soon. And that's based upon fear of being single. We may stay in a dead-end job based upon fear of trying something new. We may never honestly share our feelings with our spouse based on our fear of rejection. God knows we are fearful people. And that's why the scriptures are so full of these words. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Take the courage. I am with you. I have not forsaken you or forgotten you. I will never leave you or abandon you. Jesus comforted all his disciples with all these words. And it's all right. Don't be afraid. I am here. Those are the words the Lord spoke. And he often speaks it to us if we're willing to open our hearts and just listen. He says them to the person who just heard they had cancer. He says them to the couple who just learned they couldn't have children. He says them to the young people who just broke up with their boyfriend or girlfriend. He says them to the men and women who may have lost their job. When panic and fear begins, it begins to set. And we need to adjust our focus and look for God. Here, there are many and so many things in life that we don't know and we can't understand. Who can we understand why God's people suffer? Why me? Who can understand why tragedy and heartaches? We may not understand the circumstances, but we can know his peace in the midst of them. You see, the key here is not knowing everything about the world and the world around us, but knowing the one who made the world. The more you know Jesus and learn to trust him and who he is, the less you will be afraid. This reminds me of a story I once heard. One night, a house caught on fire. A young boy, he was forced to the roof. The boy's father stood on the ground below with his outstretched arms, begging his son to jump, promising that he would catch him. The boy needed to jump to save his own life. But all he could see was the flames, the smoke, and the darkness below. The roof seemed the only real safe place to be. But his father kept yelling, "Jump! Jump! I'll catch you! I'll catch you!" Finally, the boy cried out, "But Daddy! But Daddy! I can't see you. I can't see you." The father yelled back, "But I can see you. I won't drop you. Jump." Each of us took a leap into the darkness when we decided to turn from the trusting our own goodness to believing in the grace of Christ on the cross. We leaped into his loving arms and found forgiveness and eternal life. In the same way we began by faith, we must learn to walk by faith. We are afraid. When we were afraid, there is a Father who will never drop us. He calls out to us, "It's all right. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I am here." Any step of faith must begin with an invitation from Jesus. Does God just expect us to take a foolish risk into the unknown? Are we supposed to jump off every bridge that comes along? Is that what living by faith is all about? No, I don't think so. Only foolish people live daredevil lives, tempting fate, acting foolish for their own sense of pleasure. God isn't looking for foolish daredevils. He's looking for people who listen to his call and those who respond by faith to that call. There is no foolishness involved when we step out in faith into the task of God's design. You see, Peter showed tremendous amount of wisdom. and also faith in this story. Once he heard the voice of Jesus, he tested the voice of Jesus. Jesus, if that's you, then ask me to come to you, and I will. Peter was not about to step out of that boat unless the Lord asked him to. Now I need to ask you some questions. Why did Peter even suggest to the Lord that he could come out on the water? Peter was not an idiot. He was a fisherman. He knew how to swim, but he did not know how to walk on water. He knew the waves were really rough and the wind was strong, and that all his experience as a human being has taught him that he weighed more than the water and he would sink if he got out of that boat. So why did he ask God's permission and calling to come? Because Peter had childlike faith. Jesus had condemned Peter for faith. He was the first to recognize that Jesus was the Son of God. Peter had already had some experience of Jesus and the sea before. This account occurred after an early miracle. You may recall when the disciples were caught in the storm at the sea and Jesus slept in the boat. They were going to drown. And they woke up Jesus and asked him, "Help!" Jesus called to the sea and calmed the sea. And the waves in an instant. And that time, Peter knew that Jesus had power over nature. He knew he was the Messiah and he could do all things. Peter wanted to experience Jesus in his fullness. Peter wanted to be with Jesus. He remembered the time he jumped into the water to swim to where Jesus is. Peter believed that if Jesus can walk on water, then he can too. Oh, to have childlike faith. If Jesus said it, I can do it. And that settles it. Peter showed tremendous wisdom here. He did not take matters into his own hands and get out of the boat without being certain that Jesus had called him to join out into the waters. This is an important principle. How often do we do foolish things, thinking that God will take care of it? Maybe God hasn't called us to do that thing or given us permission. How many of us have leaped into the marriage without first verifying that God had called them together as man and wife? How many have quit a job to pursue a career that God never intended them to pursue? How many have taken on a ministry responsibility that God did not invite them to participate in? We must be careful to listen to God's calling before stepping out of that boat. Peter's risk was based on personal experience. Jesus had calmed the sea before, and upon personal invitation from Christ, that gave Peter all the confidence he needed to step out on the boat. Don't rush through these verses. Think about Peter's experience. Here is a man weighing probably more than 140 pounds, getting out of the secure craft made of wood, thinking of him throwing his first leg over the side of the boat, and then the next leg, holding on to the side of the ship. Then he put one foot down on the water, shifting his weight. He doesn't go beneath the waves. Then he puts his other foot on the water and lets go of the railing. Now he's walking on water. He's doing the impossible. He takes one more step, and then another, and another. Soon he's walking at the brisk of peace and a pace towards Jesus. He is learning to walk by faith, one step at a time. You heard me say this before. Faith and works travel side by side. Stepping, answering to step. Like legs of a man walking, first faith, then works, then again, and then works again until you can see sacredly which one or the other. When walking by faith, we will be tempted to forget Jesus. Peter is doing great. He's almost to Jesus. Just a few more steps and he will receive his goal. But suddenly he feels a gust of wind hit his face. And for just a brief moment, he takes his eyes off the Lord and puts them on the wind and the waves. Peter had been terrified when he first saw Jesus walking on water. Then the Lord's words of comfort had encouraged and strengthened him enough to take the step of faith. And with the Lord's calling, Peter has stepped out in obedience and he began to join the Lord in his miraculous work. But Peter failed to keep his eyes on the Lord, and the result was fear. A fear returned. Guess what? He began to sink. But Peter again stands as a wonderful example to us because he did the best thing he could possibly do. He cried out in prayer to Jesus. He walked on faith. It's often an exercise of taking one step of obedience. Because fearful, crying out in prayer, and turning our eyes on the Lord. And then we encourage to take another step by faith. And Peter's prayer was very simple. Three words. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Notice that Jesus doesn't wait for him to sink a little further. He immediately grabs his hand, and when they touch, Peter rises above the wind and the waves, and then together, hand by hand, side by side, they walk on the water all the way back to the boat. Jesus is very proud of Peter, and he's proud of his accomplishments. And so he does not rebuke him, but encourages him to believe and not to doubt. We must remember that only Peter stepped out in faith. Remember, it was Jesus who said that we only need faith like a mustard seed. It is not the amount of faith we have, but the object of our faith that matters. God is not angry with Peter, but only hopes to strengthen Peter's faith with these words. Why did you doubt? It was a lesson Peter needed to learn. Why did I doubt? How can I keep from doubting the next time when we walk on water? And I will never forget the thrill of that. But I don't want to sink the next time. Was I focused on Christ or myself? Do I have faith in him? Or was I trying to prove that I was a person of faith? I am sure Peter spent many hours meditating on this experience and the words of Christ. Peter needed to learn that who of faith is more important than what. Sometimes we can take the risk because we think we can handle them. Sometimes we step out in faith because we are trusting in ourselves. Our education, our experience, our ability to handle adversity. Sometimes we venture out in the uncharted waters without the Lord's permission. Sometimes we get out of the boat. Jesus never invited us to leave. All faith is only effectual when the object of our faith is in Christ. And when we are calling of our faith, he will do. So we must learn to listen, and we must learn to seek. We will live our lives, and we will do step out. We must never forget who has called us and who will make things happen. Paul wrote, "Faith is he who has called you, and he will also bring it to pass." Our worship life will grow as we learn to walk by Christ. By Christ, by faith. When Peter and Jesus walked back to the boat and stepped inside, Jesus calmed the winds and the waves. The obstacles disappeared when Jesus was in the boat with them. And together they fell at his feet, worshiping him, the Son of God. Perhaps this morning you are feeling distant from God. Maybe you feel that he is very far away, that he no longer seems to be part of your life, that you never see him working in your life. Worship to you seems like a dry religious exercise that means nothing, that has no purpose or no joy. There could be several reasons for this. Sometimes God brings us into the desert where we learn all over again to hunger and thirst for him. Sometimes God is away. We have to separate ourselves from him through our sin. But sometimes our worship is dry and God seems distant because we have refused to walk by faith. We have neglected to step out of the boat and have been content to life battered by the winds and the waves. When we live by fear, we experience a limited world lacking any real adventure of joy. Think of those who have a fear of living in their home. They are safe at home, but they know nothing of the beauty of the outdoors. Or think of those who are afraid to fly. They will only ever see the world they can experience by the ground. They will never know the amazing joy of life above the clouds. Maybe your worship is dry and your Christian life lacks joy because you are hiding under the tarp of that boat. Why not step out in faith? Why not join Jesus? Join Jesus on the water where Jesus is calling you to come. Maybe there is a ministry. He is asking you to trust him. Maybe there is a new job he has for you. Maybe there is a new community he is calling you to. Will you follow? And if you do, remember to keep your eyes on Jesus. There is no failure in faith, because only faith pleasures God. It is human nature to be afraid of what we don't understand. Any step of faith must begin with an invitation from Jesus. When we walk by faith, we must be tempted to forget Jesus. But our worship will grow as we learn to walk by faith. Will you do that this morning? Thank you this morning. And by the way, I got an A on the paper. Let us close in prayer. Father, Lord, I just want to thank you this morning, Lord, as you are here, Lord, and you're calming every storm possible, Lord. Lord, I ask you, Lord, to be on that boat with us every single day of life, Lord, as we journey into life, Lord. It's beautiful, Lord, that you are, Lord, and the power and the miraculous miracles that you possess, Lord, and that you're able to humble us, Lord, and teach us how to walk by faith, Lord, and to keep our eyes focused on you, Lord. We just pray. We pray over this weekend, Lord. We pray over everything that's going on in our lives, Lord. We ask you to be with us, Lord. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray. Amen.